Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend edition, also your hosts throughout the week on our website and podcast. It was, boy oh boy, a busy week. I think we all expected some volatility this week because of all the central bank meetings, including the Fed. And hey, we did get some volatility on the back of the Fed statement and press conference, but the real shock to the system, or the markets at least, seemed to come on Friday as we had that jobs data out of the U.S. that came in very strong. We also had a January ISM number that came in stronger than expected. We'll dive into some of this economic data as well as the central bank meetings in this first segment, as we are sticking more macro, recapping some of the key drivers from this week with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. In the following segments, we're going to dive a little bit more into some short-term trading strategies as well as the energy sector. But Joel, we usually chat on Tuesdays, and I am sure glad that we waited until Friday, because this jobs data that came out with about 517,000 jobs added blew away the estimate of under 200,000 jobs that were going to be added. Look, we can dive into this data point, but the market reaction is telling us that the market in many sectors got a little ahead of itself, thinking that maybe Fed rate hikes were over and it was smooth sailing ahead. Joel, what's your takeaway from, let's just start with the Friday volatility?
Hey, good afternoon. Fun to be here on a Friday instead of Tuesday. Oh, are we in the bad news is bad news camp, or the good news is bad news? Or what kind of camp are we in now with the market? It seems that they love the silver coat everything. My initial statement out there is if you're a bear, man, you got to be pulling your hair out. Not good earnings season so far. Still trading at a high valuation, a hot economy, hot jobs number, and boom. I mean, we're down 41 handles. The day's not over. It's hard to catch turning points in the market, but for me right now, I look where the market got to in September. I look where the market got in mid-December. And now I look at it and I'm like, what is the catalyst for the next leg higher? And I'm not really sure there is one. So I'm looking at the trading ranges, hot ISM number. On the other hand, okay, so we're not going into a recession, right? Good jobs number. Very tough. You know, it's tough for the bears right now. The bulls should be pretty happy licking their chops up here at 4,200. I thought today was an important day in the market. I think the closing prices from yesterday and also today, the end of the week. But if we're not, maybe we're not going down from here, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if we paused. And sometimes a pause in the action, a neutral stance, can save you from getting run over.
Well, Joel, to that point, when we were talking before we started recording today, you mentioned you were kind of in more of a neutral posture, and people forget that's an option. They think they either have to be always bearish or always bullish and always be in the market. And sometimes the right action is to wait and see if we get stuck in a sideways trading range, or to wait to see if technical levels do get broken to the upside or downside. So maybe speak to that a little bit.
Okay, yeah. I'll say, Chad, how about I pay you 5% to do nothing? How are you going to sleep at night? Okay. I mean, there are alternatives in the market right now. And if you have indecision about what to do with your money, the TINA trade is dead. There are alternatives in the market. I'm in total disagreement with all the people about the Fed pivot. We had Jeremy Siegel on yesterday, and the Fed lowering rates. Then they're just going to get themselves in the same pickle. Maybe we need to go up a little bit. Maybe we need to go down a little bit. But the liquidity that we had in the market at those low rates caused excesses, bubbles that we may never see again. So, and I say this every time for the years I've been coming on, Where are you at in your investing horizon? Do you have a kid going to college? Do you want to buy a house? You know, where are you at in the market? What have you done over the last couple of years? How did you feel when the market was at 3,500, right? And now, you know, I'm S&P centric. And now you're at 4,200. For me, I can't put in all my money under my mattress, but I can put it in the bank at 5.5%, 5.5% and sit this out. So not in the super bear camp, not in the super bull camp, definitely a neutral stance. I'm going to let the market tell me whether it's just this powerful rally that we've had. I mean, you're going to have to get some heavy lift. And we are through the majority of earnings season here, and your big guns miss. So, and you're still trading at a high valuation. So it's just, it's difficult. It's a very difficult market, more difficult for the bears right now. But if you're a bull, you got to be evaluating, you know, where you're at, where the market was, and what your, you know, your short and long-term goals are.
Since you went to earnings, then let's go there. Let's dive into some of those tech earnings, and even more importantly, some of the market rebounds. I first just want to start with Meta. So Facebook here, Facebook was down almost 80% from its high in September of 2021, and then it found a bottom about 4 months ago, and it has more than doubled. Now, still a long way off of its high, but it just shows the volatility we can see in these stocks. And I think some of the euphoria that traders had thinking central banks are done, it's smooth sailing ahead. What's your takeaway from Meta's rebound and some of the other tech earnings, as you said, that missed?
Yeah, the Meta chart, you guys know how I like to focus on like simple things. And right now I see a potential double top at the 197. If you want to get through that, get into the $200 area, go right ahead, but we are now 10 bucks off that level. If you'd rather sell on weakness, you are still holding above yesterday's low at 188.18, big old gap in there. So anywhere, you know, between 180 and that high up at 197, you can pick your poison. But I think what people have to understand here is that something like Meta, it was a mixed report. It wasn't a great report. They're making... It was, you know, they're just happy about the revenues because they're cutting costs. So if you have targets in here in these areas, I encourage you to take it. But that the technical setup is a better hold 180. And if you're looking for more upside, you need to take out 197.
Well, Joel, when we look at the tech leadership and when we look at some of the growth tech, a lot of it has had a really good bounce over the last couple of months. And for a while, the narrative was the shift from the growth side of the equation over to the value side. Now it seems like things have shifted back over to tech again. Do you think that'll last, and will these earnings misses matter to the market, or are people just back into more of a risk-on environment here?
I think the big money chases the market and catches it at extreme points. I think at the end of January, you had a lot of money managers, hey, I got to have these stocks on the book, big buy-in balance to end the month. So they're right now they're scratching their head. They're still sitting on some profits. But if you start to get back, and, you know, it depends on the individual issue, if you start to get back into the price action from the end of January, these guys are going to buy too high. Buying high and selling higher has been a good strategy over the, you know, in certain time periods. Right now, I think it's more going to be more of a trading range year. Whether we're establishing the top of this trading range at 4,200 or not, seems, you know, will be determined. I looked at yesterday's closing price. We did sneak over that miraculously. We're starting to leak. And I just think that for me, to buy the dip, like the dip that we're having today, where's my out? Where's their good support? And I don't see it. It's easier when it's easier for me to identify good resistance instead of good support. I lean to the neutral, to the short side. When I can easily identify good support, then it's easier for me to lean to the long side. So that's where we're at.
Joel, I feel like we do need to talk central banks, especially the Fed, because the Fed kind of overshadowed by the volatility at the end of the week. But look, the Fed hiked by 25 basis points. That was expected. And it seemed like everybody, traders, were all just thinking, okay, maybe one more and they're done. And that's a reason to get back into these markets. Maybe this jobs data, and I know it's just one data point, changes that whole narrative. It definitely changed the direction of these markets. What's your takeaway from the Fed and, well, its still impact on the markets?
I think maybe his, using the disinflation word, and I think people, take the wrong meaning from that. That just means that inflation's slowing down. It doesn't mean that it's going away. I think the 2% target is something that we may never hit again. I think it's an unreasonable target. And I think if people are looking for a Fed pivot, the Fed pivot's going to come to say that we're going to accept 3 to 4% inflation. That's going to be the pivot. Totally overdid it. I just am wondering, remember his transitory statement that the world, that turned around and bit him in the, I think this disinflation statement could end up doing the same thing on the other end, the other side of the market.
Yeah, Joel, it'll be interesting to see if the new normal for inflation ends up being more towards the 3 to 4% instead of that traditionally 2% or lower number. But you've also been in the camp and have made the point several times on our show that you weren't a big waiting for the pivot, the Powell pivot person. You were actually always open to the idea that we could have a soft landing. Are you encouraged that with the stronger jobs number, with the stronger manufacturing number, and the fact that nothing's really broken yet, that we actually could navigate the middle of this year and have that proverbial soft landing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the eyeball test too. I mean, people are out there spending. I've done some traveling. I mean, it has not hit the consumer yet. Also, look at some of these housing stocks. I mean, some of the performance has happened. Even higher interest rates haven't dented that. So, try and be even keel, middle range, not look for the higher, super high highs or the super low lows. I think it's, especially as I mentioned with, the rates that are out there, having a diversified portfolio, getting paid to wait is not a bad thing.
Joel, I do want to ask you quickly about the precious metals because, well, volatility on the back of that, the metals started correcting on the back the day after, actually, Jerome Powell's press conference and the Fed statement. And Thursday, Friday, gold's pretty much given up almost $100. It's still at a good level, 1880, but $100 in 48 hours, does that have you worried?
Yeah, it does. I'd love to see a bounce. If we could find a little bit of a stabilization, maybe they take back half of that move, I'd seriously consider selling into a strong rally back up at that area. That's for sure. Definitely, this is what it does all the time. It takes weeks and, days, weeks and months to go up a couple $100 and then kaplooey, it's back. It's a very frustrating instrument. I would definitely not buy in dips, selling rallies into gold and silver.
Well, Joel, just one last question on the gold and silver is it seems like it's also reacted negatively to a bounce in the U.S. dollar and this jobs report data and better manufacturing dollar and some of the statements out of the ECB from Lagarde yesterday has boosted the U.S. dollar. We see the dollar was down around 100.8 and now it's up to 102.70. So it's had a pretty big move the last couple of days. What's your outlook on the greenback?
The greenback, oh man, I mean, I think if the rates are going to continue to go higher, then I think you're going to have a strong dollar. I mean, it's, it definitely has been under pressure. I don't see it going back to the levels that it had, but I think it's just going to muddle along too. It had the big move up, but if rates are going to continue to be steady or move higher, I don't think that the long-term dollar uptrend is broken.
Boy, oh boy. Hey, Joel, we had a good little four-month run there where it seemed like most sectors, most markets were going higher as the dollar and rates were correcting. And February, at least for the first couple trading days, it is turning everything on its head. Again, just a couple days of trading, but could this be a major turn that just reminds everybody that we are still in bear markets or just a little bit of weakness off of some surprising data points? It's going to be fun to discuss throughout this month. Joel, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. We'll chat with you again soon. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.